Well, do you think we can start? It's not quite 10:10, but as I say at our church, I say, well, if we start early, doesn't matter, you won't get out any earlier. I'm Ron Stratman. I pastor Beacon Baptist Church in Kendallville, which is on the other side of the state. In half hour, I can be in Michigan, or in half hour, I can be in Ohio. And so that's where I am, right on US 6. US 6 goes right through Kendallville. And I've been there 39 years. I've seen good times. I've seen bad times. I've seen so-so times. I've seen it all in 39 years, you know. And I've gone through Sunday school teachers. And I've sometimes had a Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning turn their Sunday school material in and say, I'm not teaching anymore. And then other times, it just varies. And I really think that the key to being a good Sunday school teacher, I'm going to tell you in a minute. But what I'd like to do is pray. Our Father, please help us. Help us, Lord, even as what we heard and what the theme of the conference is, that, Lord, we could do things, even as teaching Sunday school, to give a good opinion of Thee. We want to lift Thee up, Lord, and we think of those words, what the Lord Jesus said, if He would be lifted up, all men would be drawn unto Him. Help me now, Lord, and help these students, help all the workshops, that we all could leave here better off than what we arrived. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we find here, in the syllabus, we have some questions. And mine aren't as thorough as some of these other, but this is my first time doing this here. And I didn't really know what they all wanted. And I made the mistake of coming over for a planning meeting. And I got volunteered for three different subjects today. And so I just basically made something easy, and I'm easy, I had a professor friend who taught at Tennessee Temple Seminary. Now, some of you may not have ever heard of that, but it was a long time ago. And his name was Dr. McCormick, and his wife was real sweet. And she'd always tease and say something about, she passed a note to her husband one time, and it said, kiss. And so he thought, oh, how nice. He read it completely wrong. And she said, no, no. Keep it simple, stupid. And that's part of teaching. And when I think of Sunday school teachers, I don't think very often of adult Sunday school teachers. I'm thinking of youth. And so I may have geared that a little bit this way for youth today. And when I was in college and graduate school, when I was in college and graduate school, I got the privilege of being the adult Sunday school teacher. And Pastor let me do that. I did that for a number of years. And so I also understand from that. But I'm going to leave about 5 minutes to answer questions if I can, if you have some. But first off, if you want to, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. And whether this would be for pastors or whether it would be for Sunday school teachers or, I told somebody this morning, they asked how long I've been at the church. I said, well, 39 years. And he says, oh, that's. But in 39 years, you can hit some plateaus. And as a pastor, and you may find this out as a Sunday school teacher, that sometimes you get in a rut where you begin to, when you read your Bible, you're always looking for something to teach, something to preach. Or, what can I teach the kids? Now, most churches will have some type of curriculum for the teachers. But you will always teach under the authority of the pastor. He's the leader of the church, not you. And so, let's read verse number 10. And notice what it says. For when for the time ye... Oh, thank you. I had that problem at church, and I tell them, blurt it out. You know, chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. And beginning at verse number 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as is need of milk and not of strong meat. But did you catch that phrase? In there it says where that need that one teach you again. You remember the theme of 1 Peter, what Peter would say? He would tell them that as long as he was in this tabernacle, what would he stir up? It starts with an R. And the older you get, remembrance. The older you get, it seems like, you know, you walk into a room to get something and what did I come in here for, you know? Sometimes, if we get on a spiritual plateau and it's not being fresh to us and our heart's not being moved with our experience and relationship with God, how are you going to communicate biblical truth to your students? So I have 3 points and you got blanks, but I don't have blanks. I only have blanks in between my ears. But consider the teacher. 3 questions I want you to answer for me. Number one, are you teachable? Psalm 143, verse 10 says, teach me thy will, O Lord. And we know in Romans chapter 12, where it talks about that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable. All of us have a will of God. And how are we going to... God needs to teach us that. You know? We have to be teachable from God. Somebody said that you will not make a difference unless you're different. So many of these big churches now, you know, I have somebody who goes to a church. Well, he came to a special service at our church. He didn't want to take his baseball cap off. He wore a tank top and he had tattoos all up and down his arm. But he sings in their praise band at the church that they go to. And I thought, you know, earring, he's not different one bit. You know, now I agree with what the pastor said today, and I thought it was so good, you know, about our appearance as a Christian. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to be... You know, I got saved when I was in the Marines. And, you know, and God just changed my life. You know, I tease people sometimes. I've been the pastor there for 39 years. Got saved in 1975. But I've only been in 4 churches. Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Ko'olau Baptist Church in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Milwaukee Baptist Church in Milwaukee, now Beacon Baptist Church. Then I really get some people's goat sometimes. I said, some of you have been in as many churches as I've been years saved. And I don't think that's good. And you want to know why I think that causes sometimes, and I've had people leave, I have people, even in our churches, we don't have people who are teachable. Their mind is made up. And we can't be that way. I like what the pastor talked about. You know, when he was in high school, he could do some things, but when he got to college, he couldn't do those things. And then when he became a teacher, he couldn't do those things, and then a pastor. And, you know, we have to answer this question. Are you teachable? Number one, what has God taught you? Number two, what has your pastor taught you? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Preach the word, be instant. When you sit under your pastor's ministry, what are you learning? What's happening in your life? Anybody ever tell you the difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee? The River Jordan flows into both of them. But the River Jordan flows in from the north of the Sea of Galilee and flows out through the south and goes down a little bit to the Dead Sea. But nothing comes out of the Dead Sea. And if we aren't getting things in so that we can give out, will we become like the Dead Sea? We've got to be teachable, but then think with me of this being a squad bay. When we would go out over the bulkhead there, it said, the more we sweat in peace, the less we bleed in war. You know what that's talking about? Training. Training. You know, I love the obstacle courses. I was a runt when I went into boot camp. Can you imagine me, 120 pounds?
Yes. Tunnel rat.
You know? and I got a privilege. I got extra potatoes and extra meat every meal. So when I came out of boot camp, I weighed 125 pounds. But I just loved the obstacle course. My favorite time was when we were in the hand-to-hand combat stuff. I was small, fast, agile, and I cleaned the clock. I didn't get beat with those pugil sticks. That was fun. So then we went armed to unarmed. And I think the DI had it in for me. He put me up against this guy like this. And he was armed. And I was unarmed. He had a rubber knife. Well, now how am I going to, you know? I lost that fight. But it's all training. If we're going to be an effective teacher, we have to have some training too. Matter of fact, anything you do, you have to have some training. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. Who's training you? Sometimes the churches will have the courses, you know, the pastor will do the course, or there'll be, he'll lead that, or he may have the assistant pastor or a Sunday school superintendent and give you some training on what you can do. But then I like us to think, are you a good testimony? I had a friend one time, and he was out soul winning. And he was telling this man, you know, God can take care of all the problems you have. Anything God can help you with. And the guy said, smart alecky to Brother Don, he said, Well, can God take care of my problems like he takes care of your cigarettes? Spirit of God, just cut him through. He said on the way back to church, he threw his pack of cigarettes out the window and never had another cigarette. But that pack of cigarettes, you know, our kids aren't stupid. They can see things. I mean, our children see things in us. Our kids can see some things if we're not being consistent. What do they see in us as a good testimony? I like to think, number one, do they know that you love them and that you care? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And sort of leads me to the next one. Consider the students as what we have. We're all different. Now, I'm not proud of this. Do you remember when I said I got saved? When I was in the Marines. So I went through school doing just enough to not flunk. I had no desire. Now people say I'm smart. Back then they said I was a smart aleck. Can you understand that? And when I got saved, they didn't tell me what I had to do. They said, we want you to read your Bible. Now, of course, sometimes we don't encourage people to read the Old Testament through when they first get saved. Because Genesis will be interesting. Some of Exodus will be interesting. I'm a history major. But then when you start getting into some of the things with the tabernacle, and then you get into Leviticus, and then you get into Numbers, and a lot of pastors encourage, we'll start off in the Gospel of John. Any place in the Gospel of John where it talks about eternal life, everlasting life, you'll find Jesus in the area. And we know that's how we get it, through Christ and Christ alone. But now, our kids, they come from all different backgrounds. My wife and I know we don't look, I don't look old enough to tell you that we just celebrated our 52nd wedding anniversary on Monday. I don't know how I've done it. 50. I tell people we got married at 2. But anyway, so the reason I've never taught in these before, in the month of September, we always do something special. It's my birthday, and then it's our anniversary. And we when my wife was teaching, we'd always try to get. So make a long story short, a lady who I was telling at the hotel that 52 years, and she says, that's really amazing. You don't find many people our age that have been married that long. Right?
It's true.
My best friend, who's same age of me, he's only been married 26 years to a second wife. And he always says, Ron, I just can't understand how you did it, you know. In that, we got kids. We had some children coming. There were 3 girls. Same mom. None of them had the same dad. That's hard. And how do you tell them that you love them? Now God loves you. You see, some are smart. But I like to think that when you're dealing with these kids, you want to know their backgrounds as much as you can. Now, you know, I'll just come over to this guy right here. He's closest. I'm a hands-on guy. All right? When we had...
Hand-to-hand combat?
No. When we had kids, you know, and I'd put my arms around them, and you know, and now that's almost somewhat... Right? Say it loud.
Taboo.
Yeah. You can't do that anymore. And I still get in trouble. My wife says, honey, don't do that. Thank God for our wife who will help their wayward husband sometimes. You know, but I'm a hands-on guy. And some of the old Sunday school kids, they come up to me and they want to hug me and stuff. And I'm sorry, there's only one woman I want to hug. And that's my wife. And all these huggy and these teenage girls and oh, things are different now. And it's really interesting. One time I went into a gas station and this clerk says, you're Stratman, aren't you? I said, well, yes, I'm Pastor Stratman. I used to go to your church. Well, she's got different color hair now, tattoos, piercings. And I always think with those piercings is, man, why did you ruin your beauty? You know? I said, you did. Well, she told me her name. I remember. Single mom. The mom was just one who runs around, you know? And the three kids were basically on their own. And got to a point where that church was boring to a teenage girl. And the activities. But she remembered me. They'll remember. But know their backgrounds. You've got kids now who can't listen to somebody like this because they've got this. My grandkids, we have two. We were able to have our phones, and they'd always say, Papa, you have any games on your phone? I said, nope. Oh, you're no fun. Grammy has games on her phone. So they moved to Florida. They come up and they say, Papa, you have any games on your phone yet? I said, nope. But how many kids do you see that they're playing some game or their phone is influencing them not for the good? You know? Our kids didn't have cell phones growing up. And I'm just amazed how there's 8 and 9 year old kids come to church and they have their cell phone. That's not good. Know their backgrounds, know their ages. Know their capabilities. When I used to teach, we'd always read one or two verses because I want them to get the Word of God. This will lead me into my next one, point. But always, and I say, now, you don't have to read if you don't want to. And then I would always get with that child afterwards and say, I noticed you didn't read. Is there something I can do to help you with that? And they said, well, I can't read very good. And I would say, well, that's why we read out loud, so you can hear other people read. And sometimes, you know, how many of you learned phonics? How many of you learned to read by sight? And if there's not something that they can figure out with the sight, they can't figure out the word. You know, we just went up northern, even when you know phonics, you have a hard time with the words. We're trying to figure out the correct pronunciation of Tuwamaken Falls. And there were many different pronunciations of that. And so I just started calling up, oh, the T Falls, upper and lower. And people, they knew what I was talking about. But we'd always read But not everybody's going to pick it up as much as you. Now, have you ever seen some student, or maybe it was you, you're just in class, but you're staring out into space? They do that sometimes when you're trying to teach. Matter of fact, they do it sometimes when I'm trying to preach. So, let's get in to the subject. You're there to teach one thing. The Word of God and the revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the textbook. We as Baptists we believe the Bible is the only rule for faith and practice. You're there to teach them the Bible. Now, I just brought as an example, here's a doctrinal statement. You can't teach this to kids. Can't teach this to junior high. You can teach some things, but I mean, this is... So, you have to break things down where they can grasp it. And make it exciting. You know, I embarrass my wife sometimes. How many of you wives embarrass your husbands? How many husbands embarrass the wives? Well, you know, for instance, when we're teaching, and I get very involved. Remember, Jesus said, if any man hears my word and doeth it not, he is like a man that built a house upon the sand, and the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went. Man, I get into that song. And then I get about the rock. And then build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings. Man, if they're not doing it, I say, build your life on the Lord Jesus. Now, for him to get me to leave, what's he going to do?
Do it.
You know, I'm wanting to get these kids involved. One of the ones that they just loved. And when I was at Milwaukee Baptist Church, we had a bus route. And it would probably be, at the best, 50-50. White and then colored people. Sometimes more of them than whites. And I would teach them this song. Neglect your Bible. And what happens? Man, I am all the way on the floor. I'm lying down on the floor. Pretty soon they start doing it. What's one of the favorite songs I request? Let's sing Neglect Your Bible. Why? Just because they wanted to do the actions. But then I'm on the floor. Well, how do we get up? I can't hear you. Right? See, I get them involved. And to do that, to be an effective teacher, you've got to come out of your comfort zone and get them to come out so that they enjoy being, you know, they get enough facts. Or different things in school. I always wanted it to be that it would be entertaining. It would be fun to come to Brother Ron's Sunday school class. It'd be fun to go to Brother Ron's junior church. But always the subject comes from the Word of God. David Gibbs, if you know anything about CLA, Christian Law Association. There used to be a few years ago a lot about counseling. People want to be counseled. Pastor friend up in Canada, he says, sure, I'll meet with you for 1 hour a week. If you meet with me 3 hours a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you want to know what I find? Many of the things that were brought up have been dealt with in the sermons, in church. But there are just some people who want counsel, 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 counsel. Well, come to church. Well, I'm busy. Well, I'm busy too. And I limit. But David Gibbs said this. Take your Bible. Put it in a prominent place. And say, I am not a counselor. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher of God's Word. And God's Word does have some things that say about marriage. God's Word does have something about morals. He says, see, you're getting them to see God's Word. You've got to do the same thing for your children. If they brought a Bible, we didn't let them misuse the Bible. This is God's Word. Treat it respectfully. Don't throw it on the floor. Hold on to it. You know, you've got to teach these kids. And if they know you care, sometimes you can be a little sharp. Dondre. Pick your Bible up off the floor. Dondre, he was at Milwaukee Baptist Church. Second row, right about here. We're singing. He turns and pows this white boy right in the face. I grabbed Dondre over here. Dondre, come here. What are you doing? You can't do that here. Did I kick him out of class? No. I said, that's not how you solve problems. Well, he called me. I said, the white boy said, how you doing? I said, Dondre, you just sit right here. After class, I got the two boys. I mean, I hope you don't have anything like that. But it can happen.
Not in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, yeah, okay. So you can relate, me out at Milwaukee Baptist, huh, and stuff. I didn't have any of that out in Hawaii. I was a new Christian in North Carolina, and I haven't had any problems like that. But I did have some problems. But you keep teaching them the Bible. Now, how can you teach them the Bible? You probably need a guide. Most of you are not going to be able to just pray and develop and come up with your lessons for 52 weeks out of the year. Your pastor probably wants you to have some material. Often, the pastor will provide some type of Sunday school material for you to follow. Sometimes on Wednesday nights, the pastor will have a meeting, teacher's meeting, so that he can go over. Now, ideally, he wants you to finish that lesson for that Sunday. And so you have to keep the ball rolling. Follow what he teaches. Remember, you're there representing him, not yourself. Now, of course, I know that we're representing the Lord, but, you know, it's your responsibility to teach the material that has been given you. Because the pastor is the one who will give an account to God for that material, for that Sunday school class. Oh, you will too. But he's the pastor of the church. He's, I don't know your doctrine, but most of the pastors here will believe that the pastor is the head of the church under Christ. He's the under-shepherd. He'll give an account. And sometimes we'll have to give an account for something that we had no idea happened, but it was under the church. So stay with the subject. Ask him, well, pastor, what do you have some recommendation? Now, years ago, we used some David C. Cook material. I'm talking, you know, I went to Bible college in the 70s. One of the things David C. Cook had was great optics. How many of you ladies remember flannel graph? Yeah. And pictures to color. And but we'd always make adjustments to the material because they didn't use the King James Version. And we say, you need to read from the King James here. We never handed anything out that had one of those other versions to the students. We'd either cut that off, you know, and just give them the verse, but you need to go to your pastor and under the pastor's leadership or whoever he has put you there to teach the subject, the Word of God, and our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times we get scared away from teaching about the Holy Spirit because we don't want to be associated with the charismatics who take the Holy Spirit way out of whack. And, you know, so we're scared to teach. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. And so when you read that verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4, greater is he than he that is in the world. Now, most will assume the Holy Spirit because he comes and takes up residence in our life. But I sometimes take it a little bit further. What does it say in the Gospel of John when, I think it's around chapter 15, don't quote me on the chapter, but where it says that if we obey, Jesus said that he and the Father would come and make their abode. So I just like to think this way. God can't be divided. So God dwells in us. I mean, when it says that he would come and make his abode with us, the Holy Spirit's in us. And yeah, here's the earnest. But some of these subjects, what do you want to teach to children? How about their relationship with their parents? If you have older girls, what about that verse where it talks about the older woman should do what? Yeah. What are the older men supposed to teach? You know? And in Timothy, it talks about being apt to teach. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher or not, you're teaching people. The preacher sort of made reference to it this morning.
He did.
About an example. Yeah. But when we gear it in, and even in our lives, we want to consider that our testimony. Wasn't he talking about that this morning? So my fourth one is consider their salvation. Consider their salvation. Now, I have three areas that you want to help them with. Tennessee Temple founder, Highland Park Baptist Church, Dr. Leah Robertson. When he would come to our church and when I would go, he would say, every Sunday morning, Sunday school class, when we got in there, the Sunday school teacher said, boys, are you saved? Are you sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? If not, see me after class. Well, one of those days, Lee Robertson went up. That doesn't mean anything. We got 5 minutes. Consider their salvation. We had a lady at Milwaukee Baptist Church when she, years ago, at a church in Milwaukee, she taught this little boy named Lee. Lee boy, she called him. She called a lot of people boy. And that man grew up and became the governor of the state of Wisconsin for 8 years. He was known, he always had a red vest on, Lee Dreyfus, governor. And she remembered. He even brought her to Madison and honored her on one of those days and gave her an award for a faithful Sunday school teacher. You never know who will be in your class. But then, does the Bible have anything to say about everyday life? I came that ye might have life and finish it. That's the everyday life that we can experience God and we can have. And then, of course, please, don't be a boring teacher, a boring Christian. Be willing to come out of your comfort zone. Not compromise. Paul said he became all things to all men so that he could, what? Yeah. And some, you might have to do that. Now, we have a couple minutes left. Let's see here. 4 minutes. If you have a question, I'll try to answer it. If not, I'll just say, see your pastor. Yes?
Would you ever, as the pastor of your church, do you ever give your Sunday school teachers free rein to come up with their own lessons?
If I have confidence in that he can, but I'd like he or she to keep me
informed,
you know, but sometimes they need, you know, a new teacher, I probably wouldn't. But somebody who had been in the church for a while and when I taught the adult class, I had free rein. Pastor Lawton, you know. But he sat in the class 90% of the time. So, yeah. Did I see a hand over here? Yes.
Go to the Word of God to give a lesson to the children, purposely does something to draw attention to himself. Do you take him aside? Do you just ignore it? It's every time he does it. So it makes the kids laugh because they know what he's doing. And
yeah, he wants attention. Mm-hmm. And so it depends on the seriousness, but apart from the interruption, I would give that child some extra attention as he comes in, as they leave, help him get more comfortable.
So do you say anything when he just does it, or do you just keep talking?
It depends on...
passing gas, usually. So it's very disturbing to the class.
Yeah. My wife had some students in the Christian school that would do that. Normally boys, you know. And that's a good one. I've never had that, you know. Last question.
I would always put that child in charge of a chore in the room. I'd give him something to do and maybe put him up front and say, you know, your job is to sit up front here and help, you know, you're my assistant.
Yeah.
Maybe
your best friend on your side.
Yeah. You know, somehow address something with some attention that maybe he'll accommodate. All right. Well, thank you for coming. I hope it was a blessing to you. You're dismissed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.